This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allahu khayran for your attendance. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept our gathering, to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight I am sharing with you a story from the Quran, more specifically from Surah Yasin. And it is titled, Voice from the Paradise. You will find out exactly what this voice is, voice of a man that was oppressed, and it gives hope. It gives hope to each and every single one of us that lives in dark, difficult times. So when we get there, inshallah ta'ala, you'll understand this voice that came from the paradise and what message is such a man telling us after his death. Brothers and sisters in Islam, you all know that the Quran is timeless in its guidance for mankind. It continues to give and give forever and ever. Why is that the case? Because Allah Azza wa Jal himself is al-awwal wal-akhir. He's the first and he's the last. The last meaning فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَهُ شَيْءٍ, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal is the last, nothing exists after him. When everything is destroyed, he remains subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal is limitless. And also the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal are limitless. They don't end. And the Quran is the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if the word of Allah Azza wa Jal is an attribute of His, it doesn't end. Therefore, the Quran continues to give guidance and peace and tranquility and purpose and meaning in the people's life forever and ever, so long as it is Allah Azza wa Jal's word. And of course, a significant part of the Quran was dedicated to narrating stories. Stories of the prophets, the messengers, the previous rebellious nations, the righteous, and so on. And that begs the question, if a lot of the Quran is about stories, what is the purpose of a story? You see, the story in the Arabic language is called a qissa. Qissa means a story. It comes from the word qassa. Qassa means to follow. Like the mother of Musa alayhi salam, she said to her daughter, وَقَالَتْ لِأُخْتِهِ قُصِّيهِ. She said to the sister of Musa, follow him. So Musa alayhi salam is in the basket going down the river, and she said to his sister, follow him, walk alongside the river, qussi. That's the purpose of a story, so that we read it, we see what guidance there's in it, what wisdom there is in it, and then we follow in the legacy, in the lessons of this story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, if we do that, what's going to happen? وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. The stories of the messengers and the noble ones was mentioned in the Quran so that if we follow in their guidance, 100% what is going to happen as a result, the heart will be steadfast upon the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. Every time you read a story in the Quran, you should be charged and motivated and inspired to continue to worship Allah, observe your prayers, the as-siyam, as-zakat, al-hijab, and all the legislations of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever you're having doubt and you're going down in your iman, read a story from the Quran. It gives you that elevated boost that you need. That's the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's its effect. That's its uniqueness as opposed to any other book. Also, when Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the purpose of a story in the Quran, very important, he said, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. He said, indeed, in their stories, there is a عِبْرَةٌ for the people of intellect, for the people of sound minds. These are the believers. There is a ibrah in their story. What is a ibrah? Ibrah is loosely translated as wisdom, benefits. But if you closely look at the word ibrah, it comes from the word abara. And abara means to go from one side of the river to the other side of the river. Interestingly enough, what takes you from one side of a river to the other one is a boat. And the boat in Arabic is called al-'abira. Al-'abira takes you from one side to the other. So what's going on? The idea is, when you read before you read a story of the Quran, you're on this side of the river. This side of the river is the side of doubt, hopelessness, right? Despair, sadness, sorrow, worry, anger. That's this side. When you read a story, it's supposed to take you from this side of the river to the other side of river of hopefulness and joy and happiness and certainty and steadfastness and commitment upon the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. How beautiful is that? So if you read a story from the Quran and you're still here, you haven't read it right. Read it again until you see yourself moving from this side of the river to the other side of the river. From the side of hopelessness to the side of hopefulness. Also, al-ibrah, in the Arabic language, they describe the T that drops from the eye and crosses this side all the way until the cheek. They call it sakab al-abarat. Al-abarat are T's. T's are called abarat in Arabic. So the idea is, the story in the Quran is powerful enough to move your emotions. And indeed, if you read a story of the Quran and you contemplate and reflect, you'll see how you are moved. Your emotions are moved as it aligns with the story and the message of this story. So tonight we have a story, we said, from Surah Yasin. And we need to understand, Surah Yasin, what is the purpose and the objective of this entire surah? Every single surah of the 114 surah in the Quran have a central message, have a purpose, have an objective. Surah Yasin, its objective, its purpose is to prove two things. Number one, taqreer al-risala. It is to affirm prophethood and the message of truth, at-tawheed. This entire surah, all along, it's proving this point, that the messengers did come from Allah and they came with a message of truth that will save mankind, the message of at-tawheed. And its second objective, the second purpose of the surah, is taqreer al-ihya'i ba'da al-mawt. It came to affirm resurrection after death. So you'll find in this surah, in plenty of places of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jal will speak about resurrection. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا. And the entire surah revolves around this objective and this purpose. And these two things go hand in hand. The prophethood and the message of Allah and resurrection. How do these two things gather and come together? Because Allah sent the prophets with a message to teach and tell the people of the resurrection. This is what the prophets did. One of their core messages was to say to their people, worship Allah, because there will come a day where we will be resurrected from our graves, flesh, skin, bone, and soul once again. And we'll be held accountable before our Lord for every deed that we did. And why would the prophets tell the people this? Why? So that they may prepare for this day. Because if they are not told about this matter and they come up on the day of judgment, we'll all be shocked. No one told us. If someone told us, we would have prepared. So these are the objectives of the surah. Affirming the messenger that Allah does send prophets and He sends with them a message that will save mankind. And that Allah will resurrect mankind on the day of judgment to hold them accountable for that which they do. Now, something interesting, maybe, wallahu a'lam, reflect with me. We said the objectives are two. One of them, taqreer al-risala. Al-risala comes from the word rasala. And what is the middle letter of rasala? The seen. Well, ihya, which is resurrection, comes from the word hayya. What is the middle letter of Hayya? Yasin. Perhaps, wallahu a'lam, this is why the surah was called Yasin. Al-Ya refers to Ihya, resurrection. Was-Sin refers to Ar-Risala, which is the message. And so this entire surah will discuss these two matters. Now, why does Allah mention this story, which is the story of the people of the town, in this surah? Because this story is going to prove how Allah Azza wa Jal sends prophets with a message and how He subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects the dead back to life. Because often you may ask that there are many of stories in the Quran, even for one prophet, and it's divided around the Quran, it's dispersed within the Quran. Why is that? Very simply, if you want to find the answer to this and the wisdom for that, the answer would be this. Every surah has an objective. And the part of a story of a prophet that supports that objective will be put in that surah. You got it? So it's not that the stories are just dispersed in the Quran and there's no organization, there's no order. No, this is the word of Allah, the most perfect of word. Even its structure and organizational structure, it is perfect. So every surah has a theme, and whichever part of the story of a prophet that supports this theme will be inserted within that surah. And that's how Allah Azza wa Jal has put this Quran beautifully together. طيب. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we move on and we begin with this story. Allah Azza wa Jal, he begins and says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا. Give them an example. The story of the people of the town. Give them an example. Who's them? Them is Quraysh and the disbelievers that will come after Quraysh. Also, the believers. This is going to be an example for the believers. And it's also going to be an example for those who preach and call to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And for each one of these three categories, this surah and this story is going to serve a purpose. When this story and this example is given to the disbelievers, it's going to serve as a warning for them that you better follow the messengers, because if you don't, your ending will be like the ending of the believers in this story. And when this surah and this story and this example is narrated to the believers, it's going to be for the purpose of comforting them, as though Allah Azza wa Jal will be telling them that you're not unique in your struggles and the Islamophobia that you experience. Much before you, believers came and they preached the message of truth to their people and they were attacked and rejected for it. So if you're scared, you're worried, you're anxious, no problems. Read this story, you're not standing alone. Much before you, people experienced the very same thing, and it becomes a source of comfort and peace and tranquility for the believer. And this story is also an example for the callers to Allah Azza wa Jal, those who preach to others, La ilaha illallah, and so on. And for them, it is going to be a means and a source of steadfastness upon the truth and continue to carry the message and continue to preach the message despite the difficulties in that. Fantastic story, and it carries wisdom and purpose for each and every single one of these people and categories of people. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا. Give them an example. What's the point of an example? Why didn't the ayah just begin with the story? I want to give you a great understanding of this matter. An example is given to someone to simplify a rigid, complex matter. For example, if I said to you, 1 + 1 = 2, you said, I don't get it. I said, okay, I'm going to give you an example so you can understand. I get 2 oranges. I say, one orange. If I put it with another orange, it becomes what? 2 oranges. Khalas, all right, I got it. He didn't understand the first concept, but through the example, things became easy. So this is an example Allah is giving. What's the concept? What's the thing that mankind is not understanding for Allah to give us an example? The concept is this. Allah is telling Quraysh and every person on earth after the Quran was revealed that I, Allah, I send prophets from among mankind to humanity. And they preach the message of truth and they display miracles so that their message may become more believable. And whoever rejects them and denies them and fights them and threatens them and kills them will face severe torture and punishment. That's the concept. Quraysh is not getting it, huh? What does that mean? Okay, I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you a story of rebellious people in where prophets came to them, preached to them, they rejected them to the point where they threatened them, to the point where they actually killed one of them, and you will see how Allah's punishment came upon them and destroyed them all. When I know the story, I understand the concept. I'm going to give you just a very small example so you can understand. Let's say this here, I don't want anyone to touch it. So I said to you, brother, do not touch this box. if you touch it, I will break your leg. So I see you that you're daring to touch it. You're not understanding. So I say, okay, listen, I'm going to make it easier for you. Someone before you came and touched this, and we broke his leg and he's in the hospital. They're about to amputate his leg because of severe damage to it. Come, I'll show you the clip of what happened and you'll see it. What happens now? Give it a second thought, because you saw something. You saw a real life example of someone who attempted to do something you said don't do. Now that person is a lot more enabled and careful not to step foot in that direction. So the story that's coming to us now, that's the entire understanding. It's a story that is telling us, be careful. This is Allah's way and it has happened before. Follow the truth, follow the messengers, otherwise you will get what you deserve at the end. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, give them the example of the people of the town. أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ So there was a town. Some mufassirun say it's Antakya, which is in the middle of Turkey. Wallahu a'lam. Perhaps that's not true, because the people of that city were always believers. So, you know, the Mufassirun have many discussions as to what town it is, but we don't care about that because Allah did not mention what town it is, so leave it. And perhaps it's always better to leave it, because the town is not intended for us to know what the town is, because these towns are always going to appear throughout history. Give them an example of the people of the town. These people of the town were living among one another, enjoying life, doing whatever they like. Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ And all of a sudden, the messengers came to it. When the messengers came to it, you see this word, when, if? It implies that what is about to come after it is going to have a dramatic change. And for example, if I was to say to you, it was one sunny morning when dark clouds began to roll in. You understand that it was one sunny morning, things were calm, clear, peaceful. When I say the word when, you now know afterwards, horrible events are going to take place and things are going to change really fast and really quick. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, give them the example of the people of the town, Ashab al-Qarya. So far we're understanding peaceful people living among one another, doing as they please, what they like. If, when. The messengers came to it. إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ Pay attention. Allah Azza wa Jal sent the messengers to the town. And what we learn from this is that the caller to Allah Azza wa Jal should make every effort to go to the people that are in the town and not to expect from them to come to him. That is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal upon rebellious nations. He sends the Prophet until he reaches their towns and their homes where they find most comfort and peace. Because that's where you find peace. So, إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ And pay attention to the word جَاءَهَا. You know, there's a very similar word in the Arabic language, and that is أَتَاهَا. أَتَاهَا and جَاءَهَا mean the same thing. The messengers came, the messengers came. Why did Allah Azza wa Jal say جَاءَهَا not أَتَاهَا? The difference between them both is that the word أَتَا means for something to arrive but with ease and simplicity. Like a gentle flowing river in the Arabic language is known as الأتي. A flowing river, it just flows very easily, there's nothing that is holding it back. But the word جَاءَ also means to come, but it implies a heavy type of coming with effort. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that the messengers, جَاءَ, they came to the town. We're understanding that the messengers and the people that call to Allah must go to the people, and they also need to acknowledge that this is a tough, difficult job. The messengers will almost all of a sudden be rejected, and they need to continue calling. They may be imprisoned. They may be silenced, they may be killed. All of this makes their coming to the town difficult and rigid. So, إِذْ جَاءَهَا Through the word جَاءَهَا, the caller to Allah. And we're all callers to Allah. We are all calling to the deen of La ilaha illallah. So we better all know and understand from the very beginning that the journey ahead is a very difficult one. It's a jagged one. Mankind want to follow their desire. They don't want to follow the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you need to have patience and you need to bear with whatever comes down this path. The word ja'aha prepares us for this matter. Well, subhanallah, that is the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. They used to say, what's wrong with this messenger? He walks in the marketplaces and he eats the food. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk in the marketplaces. These are the most hated places to Allah Azza wa Jal. Yet he'd do so to show face and to present and to teach mankind the truth. Right? So the call to Allah needs to be everywhere. Despite certain places may be heavy upon him and he doesn't want to be there, but go for the sake of Allah to deliver a much needed message to mankind. إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. These mursaloon, some ulama said that they were messengers sent by Isa alayhi salam to these people. And others said, no, they were actual messengers sent by Allah Azza wa Jal to their people. And wallahu alam, that is the more correct opinion. So they're messengers sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, then he says, إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ. So people of the town living their lives, all of a sudden now the messengers came. Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ. We sent two messengers. That's unusual. Allah Azza wa Jal usually sends one messenger. But he sent two here, which implies that these town people were actually arrogant and really stubborn. So two messengers were sent. So now, these two messengers arrive to the town. They enter, they settle among the people. And they begin to call the people to Al-Islam. They begin to say, people, oh people, La ilaha illallah. There is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah. Follow his command and his message. Worship him alone. Keep away from the idols and do not worship gods besides him. That's the message. And because they are messengers, they showed them a few miracles. And what's the result? What happened? Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, we sent two. They showed them the message of truth. فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. Immediately they rejected them and they lied against them, the townspeople. Allahu Akbar. Fa, you see this word fa, it implies that the matter was very immediate. Allah did not say, we sent two, thumma kadhabuhuma. Then later after a while, they lied against them. No, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, fa kadhabuhuma. Meaning they immediately rejected the message the very moment they heard something about Allah Azza wa Jal. Fa implies they didn't even give themselves time to think, nor contemplate and reflect the message, nor even ask questions about it. Straight out, not interested, I don't want, keep away from us, we're happy in the life that we are living. Get lost. That's فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. So look at now the beauty. Allah Azza wa Jal did not say فَأَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ. As a result, we destroyed them. Allah did not say that. You see, this is Hilmullah, the forbearance, the patience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَعَزَّزْنَاهُمْ فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. We strengthen and empowered with a third messenger. Look at this, Allahu Akbar. Look at the compassion of Allah Azza wa Jal. These people rejected the messengers. Right now, they deserve to be destroyed by Allah. Well, that's it. What else? You rejected a messenger. Right now, you're in a position of being destroyed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal delays the punishment. He does not rush. He gives mankind the time and time and time again. So now here, we learn that as a da'i, calling to Allah Azza wa Jal, do not rush judgment upon the people. Do not rush in giving up upon mankind when preaching and teaching the truth. So many people began a da'wah and they gave up. What was the reason? Well, there's no results. Didn't see any good. These people don't understand. They're all clowns. They're all transgressors. I left. Can't be bothered for it. Although he really didn't learn anything from what Allah Azza wa Jal did. That's why these are good examples, because they teach us life lessons. Right? You need to have patience. Of course, you're going to be rejected. Remember, the messengers came. Ja'aha. They came and they knew this is going to be a struggle. It's not going to be something easy. It's not going to be a flowing river. It's going to be very difficult, and there may be a lot of obstacles on the path. And this is the first of the obstacles that we are seeing. But look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Instead of Allah destroying, He sent a third messenger. And look at the word. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. We empowered, we strengthened. Notice, pay attention. Allah did not say, فَعَزَّزْنَاهُمْ بِثَالِثٍ. He did not say we strengthened them with a third. No. He did not mention an object. You know, for example, if I say, the boy ate the apple. There's a verb and there's an object. What did the boy eat? An apple. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, we strengthened with a third. He strengthened what? What is the object? Allah did not mention. And that is so that there could be multiple answers for what Allah Azza wa Jal strengthened. What did Allah strengthen? We strengthened the truth. We strengthened them for carrying the message of truth. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. And this is something beautiful, because we need to understand that Allah Azza wa Jal strengthened the message of Islam so long as there is unity. You see, they were two, now they became three. When they became three, Allah said, we empowered the truth. Not because of who they are, but because of what they carried. So now there is unity among these messengers. And this unity, Allah described it as strength. Azzazna, which comes from the word izzah, like al-aziz. Strength, power, might, ability. And what this is teaching us is, when the believers and the preachers and the callers to Allah come together, Allah Azza wa Jal will aid them and give them strength and support. You got that? That's very important, especially in a day and age that we are in, where ad-du'at and the callers to Allah are divided, and from parts of the world, swearing at others from other parts of the world, cursing them, slandering them, mocking them, bringing this one down, elevating this, changing views from one to another. All of this does not do azzazna for us. It doesn't strengthen us, rather it weakens us. So we need to understand that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yadullahi ma'al jama'ah. Allah's hand is with the congregation, with the unity. What that means is that Allah's protection and support is with unity. So we need to cut down on our arguments and difference of opinion. We need to cut on it down. The more we reduce it, the more Allah Azza wa Jal grants us strength. Arguing with one another is a condemned matter that weakens us. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not dispute with one another. Why? فَتَفْشَلُوا. You will lose miserably. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And your strength will go away. And the people of falsehood will become strong. If the believers become weak, automatically the people of falsehood become strong. طيب. Not all arguments are condemned. There are arguments that are good and healthy and keep them going, and there are arguments that are bad and they are condemned. We need to understand the difference. What are we talking about? The condemned argumentation that is forbidden in Islam is when each person arguing seeks to win for their own opinion rather than seeking the truth. So if two people are quarreling and arguing, and each of them has in his head, in his mind, I'm going to defeat him. I don't care what I'm upon. True, false, I just want to put my statement and opinion forward. That is the argumentation that's condemned Islam. That is what will ruin us and destroy us. But if we're arguing with each other, and both of us, our intention is seeking the truth, I'm only arguing to see. If you have the truth, I'm going to drop what I have and I'm going to follow that. And if I have the truth, I'm expecting you to drop your opinion and follow the truth. Not me, follow the truth. You got it? That type of argumentation is fine. That's permissible. What's condemned and what will destroy the strength is the one in where each and every single one of us argues with each other to prove a point of his, despite whether it's the truth or not. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal empowered and strengthened the truth. Allahu Akbar, now they are three messengers. Brothers from the back, if we can just request for you to come a little bit forward. as the brother is يعني recommending. جزاكم الله خيرا. فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إن إليكم مرسلون. Watch this now. Three messengers. Allah Azza wa Jal now says that they stood strong against their people that denied them. فقالوا, they all said with one loud voice. They have now become one strong united voice. فقالوا. Allah did not say فقال كل واحد. Each and every single one of the three said. Because if that was the language, that would have implied there's division among them. Allah Azza wa Jal said, they said. They said implies that their voice has become one united voice that is strong. And they said to their people, Inna ilaykum mursaloon. They affirmed their role. They responded with confidence and strength and certainty. They showed their unwavering unwavering attachment to their deen and their faith. Inna ilaykum mursaloon. Indeed, all of us, we are most definitely messengers sent to all of you. Inna ilaykum mursaloon. Subhanallah. And that's how a da'i, the caller to Allah, the Muslim today should be with his faith. That if it is met with rejection and denial, he has to understand and learn to stand strong, not alone. Azzazna, come together and to say the people of falsehood, we are indeed carrying a message of truth that will save mankind from their misery and their suffering in this life and in the afterlife. So now the people of truth need to respond. Like, well, wait one second. We denied you. We told you get lost and get out of here. A third one came and you stood and you're still telling us that you're messengers and that we're not supposed to say La ilaha illallah. Now they cannot reject them as easy as they did the first time round. When the message of truth becomes strong and people are united, the people of falsehood need to now find another strategy on how to get rid of the truth. So now they're going to respond with three statements. And these three statements, they're going to utter their doubts concerning religion. Listen very carefully, because these are the very same things that disbelievers and people of falsehood are upon today. The first shubha, the first doubt they have in their mind. قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا. Number one, you people are only humans like us. In other words, you're not messengers. You're humans. How can Allah send a messenger as a human? That's impossible. Because why would He favor you and send you as a messenger? Why not me? I'm another human. How come? What's your superiority over me? Look at the doubt. If that was the case, God would send angels. Angels should be messengers sent to earth. And so many of the previous nations always rejected prophets because they were from mankind. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says that the disbelievers would say to one another, وَلَيْنْ أَطَعْتُمْ بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ. They'd say to one another, if you were to follow mankind, a human being just like you, you'll all be losers. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said that they will also say to one another, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ كَانَتْ تَأْتِيهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَقَالُوا أَبَشَرٌ يَهْدُونَنَا. How can it be that mankind is going to guide us? No, impossible. If indeed God sends messengers, then they have to be angels. That's what they wanted, angels. But even subhanallah, in that they refuted and went against their own self. There is a contradiction in what the disbelievers said. They wanted a messenger from the angels. Yet in other parts of the Quran, for example, in Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah tells us that Quraysh said, وَقَالُوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم. They said, why wasn't this Quran sent down upon a great man from the two cities? The two cities meaning Mecca and Taif. And the two men, Urwa ibn Mas'ud and Walid ibn Mughira. So Quraysh were willing to accept a prophet, but the Quran has to be revealed on someone from their men. So you agree that a messenger could be from humankind. But you just don't want to follow what Allah sent. You want to follow and want the Quran and the message of truth be revealed unto whoever you want. So there is contradiction in this. قالوا إن أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا. And the way to destroy this type of doubt is to say this. Allah Azza wa Jal says, بَلْ عَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءَهُمْ مُنْذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ. The disbelievers always found it strange. How can a messenger be from among mankind? عجيب, strange. How can that be? طيب, isn't it a lot more stranger for the disbelievers to ascribe lordship to a stone and a rock? And they're surprised and amazed. How can this human be a messenger? Why aren't you surprised when you said this rock is not only a messenger but a god? You see the contradiction in there? That's absolutely contradictory in its nature. So that's how we respond to it. قَالُوا إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. That was their first doubt. Number two, وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That's their second doubt. And the Most Merciful did not reveal anything, مِنْ شَيْءٍ, at all, not a single word. See, they acknowledge Allah is Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful. And then they're saying, absolutely, He cannot have sent down anything. These people, what do we call them today? They existed back then. They are the liberals. That's liberalism right here. Saying, no. God is the all-merciful, the all-loving, the all-kind. And from His kindness and from His mercy, He will not impose upon us any kind of legislation or law or commandment. Cannot be. If God was to tell us, do this and do that, is no longer merciful anymore. We won't like this God. The God that we believe in is a merciful Lord, and He sent nothing down. So, freedom, liberalism, go and do what you like, as you like, when you like, no consequences, we'll all die and we'll all be equal on the day of judgment. Isn't that the call? That's the very same thing they utter and mention up until this very day. These are their forefathers and their ancestors. مَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَانُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Really? How can life be like this? Without a purpose, without meaning. How can it be that the best of us and the worst of us, when we all die, we're all equal? Because if you don't believe that Allah sent anything down, there's no laws on earth, then the criminal and the one who was good need to be equal on the day of judgment or when they die, because they don't believe in resurrection anyway to begin with. So that's a very flawed concept to understanding this worldly life. Most definitely there is a purpose. And from the mercy of Allah that He sent a book down, and whoever obeys Allah, Allah will bestow His mercy upon him. And whoever disobeys Allah will earn from Allah Azza wa Jal's punishment whatever Allah Azza wa Jal decide. قَالُوا مَا وَمَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَانُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That's their second doubt. And then finally they said, إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. And you are nothing but liars. They said it in the most stern and strongest of ways. And this is the highest form of emphasizing in language to negate a matter. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. You know, they could have just said, أَنْتُمْ تَكْذِبُونَ, you're liars. Or, مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. The strongest way to deny and to say to someone you're a liar, to say, إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. What that means is, listen, even if your tongue just moved without speaking, you're a liar. That's the kind of attitude and response now and rudeness and rude behavior they had with these messengers. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. That's three statements. And their rejection now and their falsehood has increased. So the believers now, these mursaleen, are going to increase their spread of the truth and their certainty. And what we learn from this, when the disbelievers, when the people of falsehood increase their kufr, the believers have to match that with an increase of truth. So now the messengers say to them, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. They responded with three affirmations. Pretty much what's being said here is, wallahi, 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 we are messengers by God sent to you. قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ. Our Lord knows that we are messengers sent to you. See this word, our Lord knows? That's equivalent to wallahi, Allah knows. But which one's more powerful? To say Allah knows or to say wallahi? No doubt, to say Allah knows is a stronger oath than wallahi. And sometimes people don't pay attention to this. Sometimes you may find someone saying, no, I'm telling a brother, Allah knows my intention, and he's lying. That type of oath is on the borderlines of kufr. Because if you are lying in that which you say, you have ascribed ignorance to Allah Azza wa Jal. When you say, Allah knows, I didn't take it, and you had taken it, you've just ascribed ignorance to Allah, saying He knows something that is against the reality and the truth. So we got to be very careful with this word. So these messengers are using the highest form of oath against their people. Allah knows. Inna. Inna implies certainty. This inna is another wallahi. Ilaykum la mursaloon. This lam implies another certainty and another wallah. So when the disbelievers increased their rebellion, the believers on the other side increased their stance and their certainty upon the truth. Not ran away or weakened their stance. They said, wallah, 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 God knows that we have been sent to you as messengers. Also, what's beautiful in the word, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ. It's like a cry to Allah Azza wa Jal. When someone says, رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ, it's as though he has raised his complaint to Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, let's say you're standing with someone and you said the truth. You said, I was at home. And the person said, wallahi, you're a liar, you weren't at home. So you just put your head down and you say, wallahi, wallah, Allah knows I was at home. It's like you're screaming and crying from your heart to Allah and raising your complaint, oh Allah, support me. Oh Allah, I need your aid, I need your support, I need your assistance on this matter. So these messengers now feel let down by the townspeople, and as a result, they are now calling unto Allah Azza wa Jal for his aid and support. Khalas, they raise the matter to Allah. And you see this, رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ. If you and I wanted to apply this concept in today's day and age, then that means when the people of falsehood increase their attack against Islam, we are supposed to be saying, equivalent to this one would be, حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. Because حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ is exactly like رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ. You're saying حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ, Allah is enough for us. When you say حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ, you've raised your case to Allah. That's the Allah too much. We cannot bear this. These people are against us. They're attacking us for the truth that we are preaching and spreading to them. So حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran that the believers, when they were faced with distress against the disbelievers and said, حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ, Allah's aid and support came to them. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. They were turned around in favor and blessing of Allah. They enjoyed after that the blessing of Allah. لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ, and no harm from their enemy ever touched them. وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. So we need to learn, when there are times that are pressing, when Islamophobia is on the rise, the only greatest response to that as a believer is to say حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ, and most definitely await Allah's support and await for Allah Azza wa Jal's victory and aid. And you're going to see it. Now that they said رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ, watch and see how Allah will send His aid. In the most unexpected ways, رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. And they added a general statement. These messengers are still talking. They said, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. They said to their people, look, we have no responsibility other than to preach clearly to you. It's like they're saying to them, look, we're not responsible to guiding you. We are not responsible for punishing you. We are not responsible for holding you to account. No, no, no. Don't they understand us wrong? Our responsibility here is to do balagh. Balagh means to spread the message as far and wide as we can. And not only that, but also our role and responsibility is al-mubin, to clearly preach, to break down the matter in very simple language so that everyone in the town understands the message. So when the messenger said, our role is to preach clearly, what they're actually saying to the disbelievers, listen, all your talking and all your threats are not going to stop us from doing the message we have been obliged to do. They're telling him, look, on the day of judgment, our Lord is going to question us whether we preached clearly to you or not. He's not going to ask us about anything else, whether you people believed, you didn't believe, you rejected, we guided you, we didn't. No, 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 that's not our responsibility. Powerful. And that's exactly what the believers of this day should act and behave in this manner. That's all, brothers and sisters. All of us have a duty and a responsibility to pray, to spread the deen of Allah as far and wide as we can. That's al-balagh, means to spread wide. Well, today, with the introduction of social media, it's a tool. It can aid in sending the message of Allah as far and wide as no one ever imagined a few years ago. So we need to utilize these tools that Allah Azza wa Jalla has put before us and use them for good. If the people of falsehood use them to increase their falsehood, we need to match that falsehood with the truth. So a lot more of the believers should be on these matters. Of course, understanding its dangers so that you don't fall victim to its danger as well. Imagine that, having a good intention and then ending up being a victim to al-haram that is on these social media. What a horrible movement that would be afterwards. Clear the intention, honesty, and then we get on there to propagate the message of Islam like these messengers. And our motivation and inspiration for doing this is what? وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ طيب. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ So we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going. The disbelievers, when they attack the believers, whether it's on the news or in news segments or whatever it is, they intend to shut us down. That's what they intend to do. When these disbelievers talk against Islam, their main intention is to shut you down. Right? So we need to understand what عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ means. Don't be forced into this shutting down business. We are not people that shut down. We are people that match the increase of falsehood with an increase of the truth and the propagation of Islam and the message of truth. And that's exactly what the disbelievers threatened the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ وَيَقْتُلُوكَ وَيُخْرِجُوكَ يَمْكُرُونَ يَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ The disbelievers, they wanted to exile the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam or prison him or kill him because of the message he was preaching. All that did not stop him. And he continued. Now, the disbelievers are going to respond. They're getting frustrated and they're getting very agitated. At the beginning they rejected, just get lost. A third messenger came. The truth became strong. They said, we are indeed messengers to you. The disbelievers said, listen up. You people are mankind, you cannot be prophets. God did not send anything down. We're all liberals, that's what we uphold. And you people are lying, go. Then they responded and said, Wallah, Allah knows indeed we are messengers to you. They sought Allah's aid and help and support. Now, these messengers took from these townspeople, took from the messengers that they will not be silent. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا بَلَغُ الْمُبِينَ These people will not be shut down. Okay, let's give them something else. قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ And this is the شُبْهَ الْقَدَرِيَّةِ What this is absolutely very relevant to our time today. They said to them, we consider you messengers bad omens. You are horrible, evil people. What does that mean? It means, when we were in town, we enjoyed life. Things were going really well. When you messengers came in, and you started talking Allah, messenger, halal, haram, obligation, prohibition, things started going downhill for us. We're now struck by poverty, famine, we can't put food on the table, relationship problems, prices are going up, inflation, crisis in the town. You people are tatayyarna bikum. You people are evil. You came here, look what you did. You destroyed us. You see that? They took the bad situation they have and they threw it on. The messengers, you're responsible for this. Allahu Akbar. Now watch, the messengers are going to respond. But this is shubha qadariyah. It is a doubt that is related to decree. And this happens exactly today as well. Wallahi, exactly the very same thing. Today, you have a lot of Westerners, disbelievers in the Western world, in Europe, and so on. They blame their poverty, the rental crisis. They blame inflation on what? On mass Muslim migration. تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ You Muslims came into our country, and the very moment you came in, everything's gone downhill for us. So the only way out of this is to deport all these people out so we can regain our freedom once again and live happily ever after. قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ You people are bad omens. The day you stepped foot into this town, we only saw shar. Allahu Akbar. Then they said to them as a final straw, La illam tantahu. Listen up, O messengers. If you do not cease and stop your message, لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ. Final straw. Threat came out. We're going to kill you. And in the most horrible ways, we're going to stone you to death. لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ. وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And you'll be touched by a severe, painful punishment from us. What does that mean? Meaning when we begin to stone you, every stone, you're going to feel the pain of it until your soul comes out. Look at this type of threat. In the worst ways, they want to kill them. They couldn't silence them. They couldn't get rid of them. They couldn't do anything with them. They tried to blame them and turn the people against them. You know, because when they said, you are bad omens, you brought so much bad and calamities to the town, the people are trying to turn their people against these messengers. Still not working. So you know what? We're going to kill you. Better pack up and go. So the messengers now are going to respond. I told you, remember, Ja'aha. The messengers know that this is going to be a difficult task ahead of them and a difficult commitment. Things are now brewing up. They're at explosion level. The messengers said to them, قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. They said to them, no, you've understood the whole thing wrong. This calamity that you're experiencing is because of you, not because of us. You people are the ones who are rejecting the truth. You're the ones that are worshipping other than Allah. You are the ones that are sinning and transgressing. And all of these matters bring down Allah's curse and punishment upon you. That's why you're experiencing what you're experiencing. Not because of us. طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. And you see the word مَعَكُمْ? The reason of this calamity is with you. You're carrying it. In other words, the messengers are saying, whether we leave the town or not, whether we stop preaching or don't, that's not going to change anything. Because this bad situation that has affected you is because of your sins, your rebellion, your corruption. Accept the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla and watch how the situation changes. طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. Then the messengers said, أَإِنْ ذُكِّرْتُمْ. But just because we're reminding you, what have we done? What have we done other than remind you and spread to you truth and goodness that will save you in this life and in the afterlife? In the kirtum, come on. Then they gave them the damning truth. Bal antum qawmun musrifun. Rather, you people of the town are rebellious, transgressive people. Allahu Akbar. And now it's reached here. The mursaloon are not backing down. They took the threat really well. They responded to what these disbelievers have said. So you can kind of imagine that the town now, there's a big crisis, there's a calamity, there's whatever it is, there's argumentation. This is the talk of the town now. This is on the newspapers. Allahu Akbar. Now the support and the aid of Allah will come. From nowhere, Allah says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. Not a messenger, not a prophet. From the very furthest point of the city, a man came running. Allah, who's this man here? رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. Number one, we learn that the messengers did a great job because the message reached what? The furthest point of the city. Someone is there and he had embraced Islam and the message of truth. And it teaches you something really beautiful, that you don't have to be close to the messenger and living during his time for your iman to be strong. This man is living on the furthest point of Medina, of the furthest point of the city. He embraced the truth. His iman is strong. And Allah is praising him in the Quran. And he wasn't nowhere around the messengers. So in the same manner, today, we are far away from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of time. We exist 1,400 years ago. But that's not a reason for you and I to say, oh, that's why our iman is weak. Your iman could be strong and it could be firm even if you existed 3,000 years after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Al-Najashi was far away from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His distance from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't anything. He still embraced Islam and was strong upon that. Yet, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the leader of the Munafiqun, prayed right behind him and would probably shake his hand at times. His closeness to the messenger didn't benefit him. He died upon disbelief. So, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. Who is this man? Don't worry about who this man is. Worry about four qualities he possessed. And if a person possesses these four qualities, he becomes valued in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. This man, Allahu Akbar. Four things he did. Number one, جَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ. He came from the furthest point of the city. And that implies his effort and his sacrifice and his willingness. And remember, the word جَاءَ implies that he knows this is not going to be a difficult, an easy task. He knows, I may be killed. I may be threatened. I may lose my life. But he's got some passion in him. He's coming. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ. That's number one. رَجُلٌ. That's his second attribute. رَجُلٌ doesn't necessarily mean and highlight the fact that he was a man. It's not talking about man and woman here. رَجُلٌ here is highlighting his رُجُولِيَّة, his strength and his courage. At the very time where Islam needs the strength and the support, he found it within himself. I'm going to come and support the messengers. And he came down from his house and where he was living. He was actually inside a temple in a cave worshipping Allah alone. But that private worship of his is not to no avail. It's what is strengthening and charging his passion now to come and support the message of Islam, despite he may lose his life. رجل, strength, courage, power. يسعى, that's the third quality. يسعى, he came running. This implies his passion and excitement to join the forces of truth against the evil. يسعى, Allahu Akbar. You know this يسعى? The only thing I can kind of describe it to you is to relate it to the incident in the life of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. You all know Ja'far ibn Abi Talib? Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, he was martyred in which battle? In the battle of Mu'ta, right. Jazakallah khair. In the battle of Mu'ta. But you know his story, how he was martyred? He was carrying the flag of Islam. Then the enemy of Allah struck his right arm. It fell and he grabbed the flag with his left arm. They chopped his left arm off and he grabbed the flag with his upper arms like this. Do you understand what's happening here? He's not concerned about the limb that dropped. He's concerned about the flag not to drop. What type of passion is that? What type of yasa and effort and love for al-Islam is this? That was his concern more than the limb that dropped. That's the idea in وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. He had that type of passion that I need to uphold the message and support the messengers despite what will happen physically to me. قَالَ. And that's the fourth matter that was highlighted about his bravery and honesty. قَالَ, his words and what he said. He came down, he rushed, he got there to the scene just about things exploded, before they exploded, and he began to talk. يَا قَوْمَ. My people, my beloved people. Look at his compassion and his kindness. He ascribed them to himself. We need to learn as a da'i and a caller to Allah, you need to be calm and gentle with the people. Doesn't matter how difficult the time is, because you're carrying a message that if people followed, that is their survival in this life and in the afterlife. Ya qawm, my people, my beloved people. Look at his message, so easy. Ittabi'u al-mursaleen. Come on, man, follow these messengers. He said, he didn't say follow these people. He said follow the messengers. What does that mean? He's already accepted them as messengers. And he's saying follow them. Like they've shown you the miracles. You people deep down know they're messengers. Stop playing games and follow them. Then he said to them, اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. Follow those who do not ask for any worldly compensation. They're not asking for money. وهم مهتدون, and they are truly guided. Why did he say these two things? Listen very carefully. This guy is smart. He's a genius. He's giving him a guideline on how to know whether someone is authentic in his claim or not. You know, today, when you and I want to make a decision as to whether we want to follow a certain person or listen to someone, instinct in humankind, we want to have answer for two things. Anyone you want to listen to and you want to follow, you want to investigate two things. Number one, what does he want from me? What is in it for him? I mean, he's selling me this thing, he's telling me about this idea. What's he want? Does he want my money? What's he want from me? Because if he wants my money, this guy is not the real deal. He's not genuine. Allah, move away. That's number one. If people genuinely know that you're only there for their benefit, well, nothing else. I'm just here to give you the message of truth. I don't want any dunya from you. The heart says, all right, I accept that. So now he's saying to them, اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا. So he says to the messengers, messengers, you want anything from your people? Did you ask them for anything? And the messengers are, no, we don't want anything. Follow, follow. That's number one. Number two, how do you know someone's authentic and the real deal to follow? He said, وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And they are مُهْتَدُونَ. مُهْتَدُونَ meaning they do what they preach. And that's the second thing people want to know, whether this guy is the real deal or not. This guy preaches to us. Let's see. Is he actually doing what he's saying? Wallah, he's just coming and teaching, and then he goes and has a different life altogether. Because if that reality is exposed of a person, this guy's not the real deal, they can't follow him. Allahu Akbar. This man, brave man, gave us a criteria on how to know who's authentic and not. So these messengers, turns out to be, they don't want any dunya from people, and at the same time, they are actually doing what they preach. Well, let's follow them. Then look at this. He says to them, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Why am I not going to worship the one who created me? Look at this. He did not say to them, why aren't you people worshipping the one who created you? He's speaking in first person. He's saying, why wouldn't I worship who created me? As though he's taking the lead. That you people are hesitating? I'm telling you, I worship the one who created me. You want to take me as a role model? Yalla, come, follow in my path. I'll lead the way for you people. What a fantastic, what an intelligent man. That Allah Azza wa Jalla records his words in the Quran. وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Look at the question, he's giving a rhetorical question. Like, think about it. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And you'll all be returned to him. You see what he's doing in his da'wah. Disbelievers and people that are atheists and so on, there are always two questions that are always present in their mind. Humanity at large, those who are not Muslims, always have two questions that are flashing in their mind. Number one, where did we come from? Number two, after we die, where are we going? He answered both those things in this one ayah. He said, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Why wouldn't I worship the one who created me? So he solved that problem for them. He's the one who created me. And if he created me, why am I going to worship someone else? What am I going to deny? Look, he created you. He provides for you. He decrees your affairs and matters. So it really makes sense that I give him my love and my loyalty and I worship him. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And he solved the other big problem in their life and said, then yes, finally to him is the return. We'll come out of their graves and we'll go to Allah. We'll be held accountable for what we did. Then he said to them, continues his da'wah, أَأَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. Another rhetorical question. He says to his people, are you people serious? Do you think I'm going to worship and take besides him other deities? أَأَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. How am I going to worship others besides him? Then he says to them, okay. Imagine I worshipped others besides him. Let's just go down and play the game with you. إِن يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَانُ بِضُرٍّ. Let's now give you a scenario. If Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, decreed evil upon me. Look how beautiful that is. Remember at the beginning what they said? وَمَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَانُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. The most merciful didn't send anything down, as though, look at their perception of what mercy means. Mercy means let us go, don't put any reins and chains on us. That's mercy. If God tells us do this, don't do that, that's not mercy anymore. Now he's telling him what the real mercy of Allah is. He's saying, if Allah, the most merciful, decrees upon me harm and evil, like poverty, sickness, loss of health, wealth, children, and so on, yet he realizes, even if Allah was to test me with evil, that's still mercy of his. Ar-Rahman wa Dhurrin. That's still his mercy, because he's going to purify me with this, elevate my status, and so on. What a genius. إِيُرِدْنَ الرَّحْمَانُ بِضُرٍ. He's saying to these people, okay, imagine I worshipped others besides Allah. If the most merciful decided to send upon me a calamity, لَا تُغْنِ عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا. These gods that are worshipped besides Allah will not intercede for me. وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ. And they will not save me. What actually? Are they going to save me? If I run into trouble and I've been worshipping other than Allah, can they really save me? If I push the stone, it cannot even help itself to get up. How's he going to save me from my situation? You people are fools. أَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً يُرِدْنَ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍّ لَا تُغْنِ عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ. Then he says to them, and he finally gives the claim, and he comes out announcing the truth, posting it on his status. Said to them, إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ. He said, listen up, khalas, done. I've given you all the proofs you need. I have believed in all of you, your Lord. I have believed in Allah Azza wa Jal. Fasma'oon, listen up. See this, fasma'oon? Right now, he's going to be attacked. They're running towards him. And he's saying to them, wait, sma'oon, listen. This fasma'oon also means, bear witness for me on the day of judgment that I proclaimed my la ilaha illallah before you all. Fasma'oon. You know this word, fasma'oon? That's the first regret of the disbelievers in Jahannam. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ. He told them fasma'oon, but they didn't respect him. They got to him and they killed him right here. So their narration mentioned they got him on the ground, they stomped on him until his intestines came out of his mouth. The next ayah, قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. An angel called out, enter the paradise. He went from this life and entered straight into the paradise. But I want to highlight on a very important lesson here. You see, this surah, I told you what its themes are. One of its themes was what? Al-Ihya, resurrection. To support that theme, Allah did not mention the site of death. Allah Azza wa Jal continued the theme of life. Like he was living and he transitioned to another life. Nothing about his death was mentioned. We went from life to another life. Because that, it suits the overall theme of the surah. Here's the point I need to focus on. Allah did not mention the gruesome sight of his death. Nor are we interested in that. I tell you today, in today's society, there is a big problem and there's big trouble. And that is that when atrocities happen across the world, especially what happened to our brothers and sisters in Gaza and elsewhere, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to free them from the oppression and injustice they are facing. But one very bad behavior and habit that went across the Muslim world was to continuously share distressing scenes and images that are gruesome in nature and in sight. Intestines out of the body, flesh all over the place, blood displaced, disfigured bodies, eyes coming out, heads are blown up. And we consistently shared this and circulated it among ourselves, not knowing what this will lead to among us. Whether you knew or not, so many Muslims within Ummat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to panic and began to become anxious and lost their faith in Allah and did not see hope for Islam moving forward. It did a lot more damage than any good. And under the disguise of what? We're creating awareness. You don't create awareness like this. Learn from the Quran. Look what Allah Azza wa Jal focused on. When Allah told us about this man, he told us a moment before his death and a moment after his death. And the middle scene, his gruesome death, was not mentioned to us. And that's what we should be focusing on. Look at the moments before our brothers and sisters were martyred. They were moments of strength and iman and firmness. La ilaha illallah wa hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Didn't we all hear this? And after their martyrdom, where did they go? Qila adkhul al-jannah. That's what we believe. They entered the paradise and they were happy and they were rejoicing. فريحين بما آتاهم الله. That's what Allah said about the matter. So why did we ignore the past moment and the future moment and focused on that which is in the middle, which Allah did not focus on? You see what the damage did to us? Very simple. Look at the moment before. Celebrate and praise that. Look at the moment after. Look, they're in paradise. And the moment of death, everyone is going to experience it. No one is going to escape it. It's a moment. You go through it. The soul comes out, and that's it. قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And then, you know, when he entered the paradise, his love for his people continued. He did not say, may Allah destroy my people. Allah Azza wa Jal told us what his voice in the paradise was. He said, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. Oh, how I wish my people know bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukramin. I wish my people know the amount of forgiveness Allah gave me and the kind of honor Allah gave me and made me people of the paradise. He wants to tell his people, listen, you didn't harm me in any way. I won. And I actually want this success for you. I'm not against you. We say La ilaha illallah and come meet the same fate I had. I am enjoying a mercy of Allah, forgiveness of Allah. I'm enjoying paradise and I'm being honored right here. You took nothing away from my dignity and honor. I've been honored right here. And it teaches you something else. The importance of the maghfirah for the slave of Allah. That the main prize Allah gave him was maghfirah, forgiveness, before he made him people of the paradise. Oftentimes you may think that, what, this guy was a soldier. He stood for Allah. This guy's forgiven. He doesn't need Allah's forgiveness. Even then, no matter what you did for Allah's sake, he gave his life for Allah. And even that, he was in desperate need of Allah's forgiveness. Never be carried away by your good and your efforts. Don't think that there's something, that you deserve something from Allah. No matter how hard your efforts were in worship and in a da'wah, you are always in desperate need of Allah's forgiveness. Didn't you read the story of Nuh? 950 years calling to his people to Islam. Surah Nuh, what's the last ayah? رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ 950 years of non-stop da'wah day and night, and his dua at the end of that is, oh Allah, forgive me. Forgive me for what? Your whole life was for Allah. But the greatness of a person and the sincerity of a person is to always not be carried away by your religious and righteous deeds. That you always humble yourself and you see that as nothing in comparison to what Allah deserves of you. وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. And finally, brothers and sisters, in the last 2 minutes I have, Allah then said, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ. We never sent down any special soldiers from the sky after they killed him. And we were not going to send anything special. Meaning Allah is telling you, these people, the townspeople, were so insignificant. Allah did not send not even one angel from the sky upon them. They didn't even deserve that much. And we were never going to send anything. It's like this man was honored in the sight of Allah. After they killed him, khalas. That's a red line. They crossed it. The punishment's coming down. So how did Allah destroy them? He said, إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً. It was only one scream, one loud shout. And that's also implying how significant they were. Not two screams, one scream. The angel of Jibreel alayhi salam, he came, he stood at the gate of the town, and he yelled one loud yell. صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً. What happened? فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. All of a sudden, all of them in one moment were all extinguished. Extinguished implies that they were on fire, raging with corruption and rebellion and killing this one and threatening that one and rejecting this. And all of a sudden the town became so quiet. You know, like when there's a bushfire raging and then it quietens down and you walk between the trees and everything's just like a sound, a low faint, and there's some smoke coming out. That's how they became faith. Allah then Azza wa Jal, he said, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. What a regretful moment for the slaves. Why would you do that? Why do you do that to yourself? Well, you had every single opportunity to turn to Allah. Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. You see, hasratan, when you read it, the believer actually really regrets the decisions that the wrongdoers and the sinners and the disbelievers do. Like, why? What a moment of regret for mankind. Allah then said, مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Every time a messenger came to them, they mocked him and ridiculed him. What horror. When a messenger comes from Allah, this is a moment of rejoice. We celebrate the messenger. Alhamdulillah, a messenger came from Allah, teaching us, guiding us to Allah and to the paradise. These people went and mocked the messengers. Then Allah says, أَلَمْ يَرَوْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ. Didn't they see how many nations before them were destroyed? And they will never come back to this worldly life now? وَإِنْ كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. And on the day of judgment, don't think that these rebellious nations only got their punishment here and that's it, it's all done. There's another extended, continuous punishment on the day of judgment. كُلٌّ, all of them, no one will be spared. جَمِيعٌ, at the same time, will be resurrected and they will face another forever severe, continuous punishment. And so the idea of Allah saying this is, you know, wallahi, even animals understand this. If there were 10 sheep in a line, 10 sheep, and one sheep was walking and there was a hole in the ground and he fell, wallah, the sheep behind him will not walk behind him. The second sheep in line will not walk behind him. So hey, this guy fell. If I walk in the same path, I'm going to fall as well. But the human being didn't learn the lesson. Human beings before us and nations before us tread a certain path in life and they fell in the punishment. And human beings are coming right after them, doing the same thing and falling in the same pothole. So awaken to yourself, O rejecter of Islam and truth, and amend your ways, turn to your Lord, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is the all-forgiving, the all-merciful. Jazakum Allahu khairan for your attention, brothers and sisters in Islam. We have a very quick announcement to make. We have a brother that is going to accept Islam with us. MashaAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal grant him reward and acceptance and sincerity. And after we do that, after Salat al-Isha, anyone who is interested for Hajj this year, it's not too late. There is one final opportunity for that. Our dear brother, Ismail Davids, who is sitting here, will come up after Salat al-Isha. Anyone who's interested in Hajj may sit down and ask and learn how this process may be facilitated for him, inshallah ta'ala. So, jazakum Allahu khayran for that. Brother, let's do your shahada bi-ithnillah. Okay, we got it. Okay, brother. All right, so this is Brother...